So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, the grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, man. What's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah. I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere, and I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet?
Really?
Yeah, because at the Colorado Media School, you can have a voice. Enrollment starts today, so find your voice at beonair.com. It's changed my life. Let it change yours.
Live from the Colorado Media School campus in Lakewood, Colorado, the premier radio show on GoMileHigh.com, this is The Press Box.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
There's some things going on in sports today that will make your
brain fall out of your skull. Hey, Ron Burgundy. How you doing?
Because I've got nothing here. You're giving me baseball and hockey, and I got my keister blowing in the wind.
It's sports.
All around the clock. Sports all the time.
That's the concept of the news.
Oh, that's never going to work. That's ridiculous.
Hello, everybody. I am your host, Jacob Roth, and I am here with another Jacob, double Jacob today. How are we doing?
Good. How about you?
Good, good. We got Squirrel on the board. Squirrel, what do we know?
I'm doing it all, baby. Getting it done.
Good.
Got here Facebook Live, guys. You guys are out there doing your thing. Let's get it on.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah. Heck yeah. It's a wonderful time to be alive if you're a sports fan. We got baseball on TV. Hockey just finished up. NBA Finals. Thursday night football. It's football's football. We're not going to talk about how bad this game is, but
or how bad the Broncos or the Jets are individually,
right. but it's football. It's football. So we already heard Ron Burgundy. Let's get into some headlines. You got a headline for us?
Yes. So the Philadelphia 76ers actually have signed the ex-Los Angeles Clippers head coach Doc Rivers for the new head coach, replacing Brad Stevens. It was something Brown, I believe. Who was the old coach? Something Brown. But yes, they replaced him now. Brett Brown. I was about to say it's Brett Brown.
Thanks to our producer in the back.
Yes, thanks to our producer in the back. But yes, they're replacing Brett Brown now with Doc Rivers. Still trusting the process there in Philly, something that they've been doing for the last 4 years. All I'm going to say is I don't believe this. I don't like this sign at one bit. I don't like Doc Rivers as a head coach. I never really has liked Doc Rivers as a head coach. I don't really believe in this Philadelphia 76ers team. I don't know why they have two bigs that look like they could play in the 70s but don't really belong in today's NBA.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. This is either going to be a great team or a horrible team. I don't think there's going to be any in-between with a Doc River coach team.
Absolutely atrocious.
Well, the sad thing about it is, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons separate, if they had players around them, they're good, but I don't like them together. I just don't think they have good chemistry or good continuity together. I just think they don't melt well together. They don't play good together. They just don't, Haven't you noticed, when Joel Embiid didn't have Ben Simmons out there, it almost looked like he played better. I mean, I felt like he did, even though the first round they got swept, still played pretty well for himself.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Anything else on the Sixers hiring Doc Rivers, Squirrel?
Let's just hope he does better than what he did, I want to see, Boston Celtics Rivers back, I know we had a squad there, Pierce and Rondo and all the boys and Ray Allen. And so he had a squad this year. Come on. You got Kawhi and Paul, and you had a heck of a team, bro. I mean, yeah, you went up against Denver. Denver
Paul
came
George
back.
George screwed Doc Rivers' wife twice, you know, cheating on his daughter, and then, you know, as well as, you know, cheating him out of a 3-1 lead. Cheated on Doc, you know, Paul George cheated on Doc Rivers twice. So.
Wow, that was good. No, I like that. That was a good one. I like that. But Doc Rivers is a great coach. He's had a great career.
He's good at blowing 3-1 leads.
You know what? He's one of the only ones to blow it multiple times.
I was about
I'm
to
wrong.
Say he's really good at it. If you're a 76ers fan, if you're up like 3-1 to like the Bucks right now, or like the Bucks next year, or the Nets next year, are you worried?
I mean, honestly,
yes.
Most of the time, if you're up 3-1, you're not really worried about anything at the moment. Until that second game comes through, and then you're up 3-2, then you start to get a little shaky. And then when it gets 3-3, now you're worried because they're on a roll. Mm-hmm. So I don't think most of the time when you're up 3-1, you're not sitting there worried. That's why Denver was able to come back. The Clippers weren't worried. Utah wasn't worried.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. You know, Denver was worried about going home. I don't want to go home.
Cancun. They sent someone else to Cancun.
Yeah, they took a game. He said, I still don't really want to go home. They took another one, and they're like, look, we got a chance to really go. And then they took that one, and they got themselves in the same situation. And Doc Rivers just couldn't. He didn't. You know, didn't settle it. Didn't do the deal. So I mean, there's things that happen every year with teams like this and basketball. And we've seen, you know, LeBron. He was up 3-1.
And we can't say that. It's not all Doc Rivers' fault. I mean, Kawhi Leonard and as well as Paul George came up very short in those last three games in the fourth quarter.
I have always been stern on – I love how the media blames coaches for everything.
Mm-hmm. Everything.
Like.
And in every sport.
Y'all need to just take a second and say, hey, he didn't even touch a basketball.
Mm-hmm. He drew up a play.
He didn't even throw a pitch. You know, he didn't even toss a pass, bro. So you're going to tell me, yeah – did he make the call? Okay, he made the call. You didn't run it right. I mean, a coach can only do so many things to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, honestly, are you guys gonna sit here and tell me Doc Rivers blew a 3-1 lead?
No, I think Kawhi did.
Kawhi, Paul, the rest of the team,
playoff P.
Blew a 3-1 lead. Y'all were up, not Doc Rivers.
Remember in the press conference, you know, when he was like, hey, you know, no one's ever seen playoff P, you know, until now. It's like, well, I don't think anyone's seen playoff P. Where is he? Did you leave him in Indiana? You know, leave him in OKC?
Yeah, it's what happens, dude.
Yep. Squirrel, headline.
Yeah. The NFL has their very first postponed game in history. You know, I don't think this is good for football.
No,
a lot of money
not.
Is going to be lost. You know, well, we can't say that because of tickets and all that stuff, you know, that's going on right now. So in a normal season, this obviously wouldn't have happened. But even if we did have a ton of fans right now, this would be a big money loser. So it's pretty crazy to see. But I had a few friends, a few guys on my show a few weeks ago saying, you know, 2-4 weeks, you know, we could see this exact thing. And there it is, you know, two teams. But it's crazy. Both teams have it. How weird is that?
No, I don't think.
Or is it just the Steelers?
No, it's just the Titans.
Just the Titans. My bad.
It's just the Titans.
So the Steelers don't have none. It's just the Titans with, what, like nine? Is it nine players?
I don't know numbers for sure off the top of my head, but I do know, well, actually, is the plan right now that's been going around Twitter, I guess, is to move the Week 7 Steelers-Ravens game to Week 8.
Well,
right, and then they're going to play that game in Week 7 because the Titans have a bye Week 7. Both the Steelers and Ravens have a bye in Week 8.
In our football show before this one, we had a good idea. All of us were saying just take their bye week and use it now.
Yeah, I think that's
and
kind
take
of the plan.
Your bye week and just put the game on the bye week.
I believe
and just
that's
use
the
your,
plan.
Yeah,
the NFL's kind of, I don't know if dragging the feet's the right term, but they are certainly not being open with the public, and it doesn't sound like with the players. I know a Steelers player came out and said, "Hey, we need to know: is this going to be our bye week, or are we going to have a bye week again, also in Week 7?" So, I have a feeling that this is going to be both Tennessee's and Pittsburgh's bye weeks, and then we're going to see the Titans and Steelers play together in Week 7 and then reschedule that Ravens game against the Steelers to Week 8. That's my feeling on that. Hopefully,
a lot of rescheduling, dude.
We'll cross our fingers because I think if this happens anymore, we're going to be in some serious danger because football is really the only sport that you can't play two games a week.
No, you can't. I mean, yeah, and we all talk about how, you know, short weeks, you know, playing Sunday and then having to play Thursday. That's a short week. So you can imagine if anybody had to play, say, Monday or Tuesday, and then, oh, you got a game Sunday or Thursday. You know what I'm saying? So
Yeah, it'll be – I don't know. I'm definitely worried. I'm halfway just saying, we're just going to keep this out of sight, out of mind, and hope nothing else bad goes on, hopefully.
Hopefully.
A little bit of positivity here with my headline. The Mountain West Conference has finally released their schedule. Play will be opening up on October 3rd, just a couple days from now, with Navy at Air Force. But the main slate of games will be October 24th. So still a few weeks away. Kind of the main games I'm looking at for that is Utah State plays Boise State at Boise. Wyoming plays at Nevada. I'm a big Wyoming fan. And New Mexico plays at CSU. So CSU opens up the game at home. It doesn't sound like CSU is going to have fans in Fort Collins, but Wyoming will have 7,000 fans, so I think that's a good sign. Just under 25%. I can see that number kind of bumping up a little bit, but yeah, Mountain West is back. It seems like just about everybody's back except for the Ivy League, and who cares about Ivy League football?
Besides Ivy League players, dang smart players.
For sure. For sure. But you got anything on the return of college football overall?
I'm happy for this, honestly. And I mean, honestly, you know, I'm not going to lie, as a Nebraska fan, I was happy for Nebraska to release their schedule. I understand they play against Ohio State, Penn State, Minnesota, you know, Wisconsin. Probably not going to be an easy game, you know, schedule for them. But I'm just happy to see some college football back. I don't care if that it's interconference. I'm happy to at least see somewhat of college football back. I love it.
Absolutely. All right. Football, football, football coming up next. You are listening to the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com.
This is Ducello at Sturt. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers because there's the Elway draft and there's going to be the way that I would draft it. Which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Locke. And if you think about it, our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturt. Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at WelcomeRug and at OrangeMamba22 to check out the latest podcast.
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence,
really?
Flowing robes, the grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform.
certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Welcome back to the Press Box, everybody. I'm your host, Jacob Roth. We got another Jacob here with us and Squirrel on the board. We're going to talk a little Broncos football today. We have a game tonight. The Broncos play the Jets. Thursday Night Football, the game everybody's been waiting for. I will tell you what, we're not going to get political, but I did watch the presidential debates on Monday and on Tuesday, and I was like, wow. I cannot wait for Broncos-Jets. This is going to be awesome compared to this.
I was about to say, was that a debate?
I feel like it was just two old men yelling at each other for, you know, an hour. Three old men because of the... Yeah.
It might have been...
It was three. That mediator wouldn't be quiet either.
Yes. But yeah, so we've got what can be called a football game tonight. What are we thinking? Who's going to win this game?
I got 17-13 Broncos winning. I think Melvin Gordon's going to get a touchdown, and I think Brett Rippon's going to at least pass for a touchdown. I see Sam Darnold scoring a touchdown. I see, you know, field goal, or I could see a couple field goals on the board for the Broncos and then scoring a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. I just don't see a lot of offensive yards being put up, maybe under 400 total for both teams.
Yeah, I don't know. So the over/under set right now at 41.5 on FanDuel Sportsbook, and
It went up. I took the under at 40.5.
Did you? Mm-hmm. I see it kind of trending up. I think that's a good call by them. I think that the Thunder is certainly not safe. Both these defenses are not good. So I would be tempted to...
These offenses are...
No, I mean, that's true. But I think a lot of the times when you see two crappy teams, you kind of think, oh, the under. Well... We can see some sloppy football being played. Maybe we'll see a defensive touchdown. Some stuff like that. A pick six.
A fumble six, something like that.
Yep, later. Something like that. So I think there is the opportunity for at least 40 points to be scored. So one of my best bets, I think, first touchdown scorer, Noah Fant's at plus 950.
Plus 950 for Noah Fant. So do you think it's... I just have a hard situation like that. Like, for me, I think the game is going to go, if the Broncos can, like, not, you know, can control the Jets to only making Sam Darnold pass, I think they're going to win the game 110%. The Broncos have, like we were saying in the last segment, the seventh best rush defense in the league, and the Jets have no one at running back. So it leaves them at a very high advantage. So Jets get the ball first. Maybe they go three and out. Broncos get the ball first, and they drive down and score. But that's the thing, though. Are they going to give it to Melvin Gordon? Because you have a young quarterback that's Brett Rippon. You don't want to give him the chances, you know, to throw an interception in the red zone. Yes, you have these red zone targets, but this is your third-string quarterback going out there. I think you'd rather give it to your running back, Melvin Gordon, than giving it to a, you know, receiver out there. But, yeah, for me, I think Melvin Gordon's going to get the first touchdown. I'm very high on Melvin Gordon this game. I think this is a game where Melvin Gordon has a lot to prove, and then as well as Brett Rippon has a lot to prove to maybe take over Jeff Driscoll's job as the backup quarterback. Because right now for the Broncos, you're really just looking for depth players. With all these players in IR, you're looking and saying, hey, we have $58 million on IR. We have a team that has not very good continuity and not very many players that have played well with each other for that long. Your starting quarterback got hurt in week two. Let's say, hey, we need a backup quarterback. Let's see what Brett Rippon can do. We need some running backs that can be formidable. Phillip Lindsay got hurt in week one. Let's see what Melvin Gordon can do. Let's see what Tim Patrick can do. Let's see what your first...
I like Tim Patrick, by the way.
I think I like Tim Patrick as well. Let's see what Jerry Jeudy can do. I want to see what these young players can do and not exactly look forward to this year, but look forward to the very next year and building towards next year, because I feel like that's what this year is for the Broncos, building towards the 2021 season.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it definitely is. The Broncos season's over. Any Broncos fans that think it's not, you're just misleading yourself. Trust me, it's over.
Or you're diehard.
Yep. Yep. Brett Rippon, over under 204 passing yards. I'm hammering that under because I think we see the boat tonight. I think we see Blake Bortles.
I don't think Boat's going to play tonight. But I don't think they're going to play him at all because he hasn't passed his COVID protocols, has he?
Yeah, Blake Bortles will not be playing.
He will not be playing? Okay,
no,
well,
Jeff Driscoll is the backup.
Oh, right? He is? Okay. Yeah, I was looking on Twitter beforehand, and it looked like people were talking like he was going to at least be active.
For 14 days he still has. I think he still has a few left.
Well, I'm ready to see Blake Bortles. I don't know about you guys, but
I think Bronco Nation is looking for somebody.
Yeah.
The Jets give up 133 running yards on the game. That's 24th in the NFL, and they give up about 239 passing, which is about
Melvin Gordon's over/under set at 65.5 rush yards.
I would go over on that.
Taking the over than that.
I'd say Melvin Gordon's going to about 75, 80 yards, maybe even 100.
Frank Gore's rushing yards, 55.5. I would take the over on that as well because he's still got it, even though he's ancient and his son is playing college football now, which is crazy to think about.
I think he wants to play until the point where his son's playing in the NFL, which would be insane.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it for another year or two, but as a running back, playing into your 40s is absolute banana land. But I love it. I love it.
I do love it, too. And I think it's awesome that, you know, it's kind of sad to say this, but, like, you know, he got to be able to get that. Okay. It's awesome that Le'Veon Bell got hurt. Not that he got hurt, but that Frank Gore can be able to take over the helm and be able to run the ball now. Because I just love seeing this and be able to see him run up. Because we're not going to see a running back like this that has 15,000 rushing yards, this crazy NFL career. Most teams don't really run the ball as much anymore. We're not going to see that many Adrian Petersons or Frank Gores or these Emmitt Smiths or these Barry Sanders. You're going to see a lot more of these Austin Ecklers, these Christian McCaffreys, these dual-threat running backs that can catch for 1,000 and also run for 1,000. So no one's going to be a bell cow 1,500, 1,600, 1,700 yards, you know, a year. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott is that. And even then, look, treads are starting to fall off the wheels on that one.
They're throwing the ball so much because their defense is so bad.
Derrick Henry, but I mean.
Derrick Henry's probably the only bell cow I would say that there's left in the NFL.
I'll tell you what, James Robinson in Jacksonville looks like a bell cow back.
He looks like he's going to be. Now, listen, if Todd Gurley gets back on his, he's a bell cow. That man is strong, but he's got arthritis. He's got to get healthy. I know he's an old man, dude, living alone. Now, if Saquon gets healthy, he's obviously a bell cow.
He's more of a dual threat running back because he can still catch 80 balls out of the backfield.
Yeah, but okay, are you meaning bell cow as that's all he does is barrel down like old school Marshawn
like 19,
Lynch
20 rush attempts a game.
Okay. So Derrick Henry and McCaffrey.
And even then
but McCaffrey's not
a bell cow. He's a threat. He's the most versatile running back.
He doesn't want to be called a running back.
Other than what, like 2 years ago, I would have said Mark Ingram was one, but
you could put Leonard Fournette down, but like, you can't really say that because they do a running back by committee there. So he's not getting the 20, 30 carries a game that would consider him a bell cow. I mean, he can. He did that in Jacksonville and showed that he can. But
when Mostert comes back, I'm sure he will. He was getting about 20 carries a game.
But now that they have, Jerry McKissin in there, and he showed that he can do at least somewhat.
McKinnon?
Jerry McKinnon. My bad, McKissin.
They got a few, though. They got a few. Jeff Wilson.
Jeff Wilson. Yeah.
Jeff Wilson's a weird running back
Coleman.
For them.
Every once in a while, if he ever can stay healthy.
But I think
it's only 3 week IR for the NFL, so he'll be back. Mm-hmm. What are we looking at for fantasy tonight? I think the only person you might start is the Broncos defense.
If I'm doing a FanDuel account or if I'm doing a FanDuel lineup, I'm taking probably Melvin Gordon. I want to take the Jets running back.
Noah Fant.
You want to probably take Frank Gore. If I'm taking a receiver, you probably go Jerry Jeudy. No?
No, I'm not taking anybody from the Jets.
That's
from the Broncos.
No, I'm saying you said Frank Gore. So
yeah,
I wouldn't take anybody from the Jets.
I think for these Thursday night slates, you have to at least take two people from
the opposite team.
You mean if you want to play the five or the nine?
Like a FanDuel.
Yeah,
FanDuel. If you play the five on FanDuel,
I'm probably doing like Melvin Gordon, Noah Fant, Frank Gore, Jerry Jeudy, and who else would you do?
You can't play a nine player because you can only have four from the same team. So the five, if I had to pick five right now, you're going to do the MVP for the top one? Okay, so we'll go MVP
Melvin Gordon. I have to.
You got to because of the yardage that he's going to be getting.
See, I think a lot of people are going to be on that, so I would go with a Noah Fant.
Then that's smart because if everybody is leaning towards that, which they probably are, Noah Fant will be a viable option to have as a MVP or you put your quarterback there. Because you got to remember, he's 1.4 in the MVP. So every yard he throws, he's getting more for that.
But is Brett Rypien going to throw for over 200 yards against this team?
Honestly, we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think
we've never seen him.
We've
never seen him, and
we're
he's playing.
We're not going to see a 40-point score up there, but we could see a 21.
We've never seen the guy, and he's playing the Jets defense. So nobody knows what the heck's about to go down. So I could see
I could see him putting up a 30. You know, it's possible. It's easy possible, sure. You know. So with the offense that the Broncos do have. Mm-hmm.
I just think it's sad because, I mean, when the Broncos lost Peyton Manning in 2015 and 2016, they had a formidable team to at least get to the playoffs, and they just had no offensive line. And they really showed that towards the end of the year, you know, going against Kansas City and losing, going against Tennessee and losing those, you know. But these last 3 years, 4 years have just been abysmal, and it's so sad. Look at the quarterbacks that they're, like, dragging out there. Brett Rippon, Jeff Driscoll, you know, Drew Locke. I mean, yeah, he's formidable.
The Denver Broncos have had more starting quarterbacks in the last 5 years than any NFL franchise in that span of a time.
And you know what's sad is like that's right after you lose Peyton Manning. That's right after the Peyton Manning era. Is that the same thing that they're falling into that they fell into with John Elway? They lost John Elway and they had who was it? They had Brian Greasy.
Yeah,
they had
Brian Greasy.
Yeah, they had Brian Greasy for a while, but then they get stuck in quarterback purgatory.
Jake Plummer, Jay Cutler, Kyle Orton.
That's quarterback purgatory.
Oh, absolutely,
right there.
Absolutely.
You can't get an above of, you know, you're getting literally average quarterbacks after average
quarterbacks. Van Pelt never worked out.
It's average quarterback after average quarterback, and then Peyton Manning plopped in your lap, and then he, you know, obviously won a Super Bowl for you, went to another one. That Super Bowl didn't turn out very well, obviously, from the very start of the game, but since that little four-year stint, they really haven't shown anything outside of 2016. In 2016, I will admit, that was a playoff team. They had the weapons to be able to do that, and a running back, two receivers, some tight ends, as well as a great defense. It's just they had no offensive line. I'll even go as far as this. Trevor Siemian looked good that year at quarterback, you know, throwing for 18 touchdowns, 3,000 yards. That's not that bad. It's just they had no offensive line, and they could not block for Trevor Siemian or for C.J. Anderson. And it's just it's sad to see this because there's so many proud fans here and so many proud Denver natives that want to see this Broncos team succeed and have seen this Broncos team succeed even older than us. I think we can attest for our parents, you know. Yep. They've lost this team since the 70s and 80s with John Elway and as well as the Craig Morin era, you know, the Orange Crush era, and now it's just they're a bottom dweller, and I don't think they're used to seeing that here in this Denver County area.
Question before we get out of here. If the worst of the worst happens to these Denver Broncos and they have the number one overall pick next year, what do they do? Do they take Trevor Lawrence?
Do they sell that pick
for everything they can get?
Yeah,
from
you've
it.
Invested too much already in Drew Locke and have built around him. Honestly, you've built
a good
he's
team.
Got. Listen, if you take these guys and you write them on paper, he's got a top 10 offense in the NFL right now. He's had a lot of mishaps. He's got a young offense.
If you just
offense.
Take the skill position players.
Skill position, yeah. He's got a young offense.
So what would you need? What would you be
defense,
okay with?
Defense, bro, because Vaughn's leaving. Bradley's. We don't know what Bradley's doing. You need help on the backside, bro. You need. Yeah, I don't know.
Think Bradley Chubb's going to be that guy that he was in 2018.
So,
I think
okay,
that's a flash
okay,
in the
so
pan.
There you go. You give everything you can for the top linebacker, top
pass rusher.
Skilled,
how much
do skilled
does
defensive
this Broncos team wish they would have taken Quentin Nelson instead of Bradley Chubb?
I mean, I'm happy they didn't.
Yeah, you wouldn't be as a Colts fan.
The thing with it is defense of studs are hard to come by, you know, and we know that, especially in the NFL. It takes a skilled man to become a great defensive player in the NFL. A lot of college guys don't just walk into the NFL and are able to play good defense, and it's just not how it works. Mm-hmm. So you see your rare Jalen Ramsey corners that come. Yes.
Chris Harris undrafted.
You know
how rare is that?
Rare. It's rare to have corners and linebackers come in there and say, "Oh, I can shake and bake with these wide receivers." Like, no, you can't. You know.
This is the different
I'd
league.
Love to see you guard Devontae or Michael Thomas when he's
Julio
DeAndre. You know, go ahead. And let me see what you got. Now you put Jalen Ramsey back there. He ain't got a problem. Come on, bring them all because. He worked his way into that area where he can say, I am Darrelle Revis style. I am a shutdown corner,
yep.
Which is hard to find a shutdown corner these days. So that's where I think you need. Yeah, you went to Ojemudia. Okay. How about you go get a top linebacker this year?
That linebacker core has not looked good for quite some time.
I think it's time for Von Miller and Bradley Chubb to, you know, somebody else get in there and do it.
Yep, absolutely. All right, folks. Well, you have been listening to the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com, part of the Be On Air Network. Coming up next, we're talking about a little bit NBA Finals. Quite the game last night. Went south for Miami in every way possible.
Literally
Come
and
on
figuratively.
Back.
Figuratively.
Yep. We'll be back.
This is Ducello at Sturts. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers because there's the Elway draft and there's going to be the way that I would draft it, which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Locke. You need to think about it. Our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturts.
Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded, and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at WelcomeRug and at OrangeMamba22 to check out the latest podcast.
I think it's, for me, it's always kind of been about, you know, just trying to get myself better. I haven't really tried to pay attention to, you know, people that believe in me. Well, I do pay attention to people that believe in me, but the people that don't believe in me, it's, you know, it is what it is. I can't do anything about that. I just have to go out there and, you know, prove people wrong. And, you know, for me, I played this position for a long time. I played 4 years in high school. I played 4 years in college. So I've seen a lot of games. I've seen, you know, got a lot of reps, seen a lot of defenses. And, you know, I think that's probably my best quality is being able to understand defenses and think fast and get the ball up.
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, the grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed 2 eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, Colorado sports fans. You're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man. Live in the now.
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Can't come out sluggish, knowing that this team is, you know, a team that can get hot from three and, you know, can get to the free throw line and get to the paint. So we have to be able to, you know, come out a little bit more aggressive and come out with a little bit more sense of urgency to start the games, and that's on the starters, especially me and Bron. But, you know, it feels good to get the first game. We're not satisfied. We don't like how we ended the game. There wasn't a championship mentality, and you know, we have to be better in that regard. But you know, we'll take the win, but we'll watch film and you know, try to get game two as well.
All right, that was Anthony Davis talking about what they need to do to win this series. You're listening to the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com. I'm Jacob. Got another Jacob here with me, and Squirrel in the booth.
Yo yo.
NBA Finals. The Lakers took down the Heat 116-98 last night. The Heat struggled. What are we thinking? What do we think? What's going to happen this series?
Beginning of this game, the Heat actually went on a little bit of a roll, being up 23 to 10, actually having a 13-point lead. And then after that, the Lakers head coach, Frank Vogel, took a timeout, and they put out LeBron and brought out their secondary player or their second team or second unit with AD out there, slot the five. And they went on a run. I believe that Danny Green hit two threes. Caldwell Pope hit as well another two threes. I believe that Alex Caruso hit another three. Anthony Davis hit a couple threes. And there was six or seven times where Anthony Davis got left wide open in the restricted zone, wide open in the paint, and he just was dunking on Bam Adebayo. There was no recollection of defense there at all.
It's just crazy to see a 7-foot guy pop a three like that with nobody. We're not a care. We've seen it in game two, bro.
We get to see it in Denver,
man.
With Joker. You get to see it with Joker.
That dude. Well, no, Joker ain't popping threes like Anthony Davis.
Not like AD, yeah. Not like AD.
He still can pop the three.
Yeah, I mean, Joel Embiid pops him up, but he just misses them all. So he's the only other. He's the only other center I know that throws him up like he does. And AD hits a lot, dude.
What are we thinking for these injuries for the Heat? Jimmy Butler rolled his ankle. Abadayo strained his back or strained his neck. I'm sorry. Are these injuries that are going to keep him out for a while? Is this going to be a drama-less NBA Finals?
They're going to lose in five games. And I wanted to see the Celtics be in this series just because I felt like the Celtics presented a way better matchup for this Lakers team rather than this Heat team. Yes, this Heat team was a great story throughout the bubble and looked very nice. You know, Tyler Hero was everyone's hero, being able to outperform, scoring 37 points, highest points for a rookie for a rookie in Miami Heat history. But anyway, going back to it, this team doesn't present this best matchup for this Lakers team that can play a big ball, in which this Miami Heat team doesn't really play the big ball very well. Their biggest player, 6'9", Bam Adebayo, is just as tall as LeBron James. This Lakers team has 3 7-footers and JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard, and as well as Anthony Davis that they can throw at you. And as well as they have outside perimeter protectors, Danny Green and as well as Kyle Kuzma, that are sitting at 6'7" and 6'8" respectively to themselves. So they're a very big team, and not only a big team, but they can also go and play small ball with Alex Caruso, Rajon Rondo, Marif Morris, and then as well as I'm forgetting one last guy, but yes, they can go and play both balls, and they can also not only knock down the threes, but they were probably playing volleyball against this team. Didn't you? I don't know if you guys watched that in the second half, but they're kind of playing volleyball more against in the rebounding game against this Miami Heat, because think about it, they could just pop the ball up, get the ball to them, or pop the ball out and pop it out to someone that's also tall. And there's, you know, when your tallest player is 6'9" and that compared to LeBron at 6'9" as well, that just presents such a huge mismatch, and the Boston Celtics would have been able to present such a better match with Daniel Theis and as well as Enes Kanter playing at the five, that would have been able to give Anthony Davis a little bit more troubles that Bam Adebayo cannot.
So what do the Heat have to do to make this a competitive series? Is there anything they can do besides get healthy?
Yes, that's one thing is get healthy, but I believe one thing that they can do is Bam Adebayo needs to play way better in the paint, and they need to be able to get their offensive rebounds, because if this Lakers team gets second chances and third chances at the basket, they're going to score, and they're going to, you know, play very phenomenal. Rajon Rondo looks like playoff Rondo. He doesn't look like regular season Rondo. They're hitting their threes, and not only that, I think that Miami needs to be able to start hitting the threes, because if Miami doesn't hit their threes, that's what they really excelled at in the regular season. They kind of dipped out in the playoffs, kind of dropping down under 3-point percentage. I mean, that happens with every team. Every team kind of struggles in the playoffs from, you know, beyond the arc, but they were one of the best 3-point shooting teams, second best actually in the league this regular season. So they need to start yanking up threes, and it needs to be a whole unit like they did in the regular season, not just one individual score. They need to get everyone involved. They need to get Duncan Robinson involved. They need to get Tyler Hero involved. They need to get Jay Crowder involved. They need to get everyone involved shooting the three, and not only everyone involved shooting the three, but they need to get passing, and they need to win the board matchup as well. If they can't be getting out rebounded by 20 and then lose a 3-point battle, that's just a recipe for disaster.
They pretty much have to play perfect. Squirrel, what are your thoughts? The Heat have a dream?
Yeah.
They have a dream, but it's...
The Heat have a dream just like Denver had a dream thinking they were going to beat LA.
Well, Denver had a better chance against LA than this Heat team, I believe.
I don't believe so. I think the Heat are a lot better shooting team.
Can't play big ball as well.
Well, of course they can't play big ball. So, I mean, you know, all they have is Adebayo. He's the tallest guy.
6'9".
6'9". And everybody else is 6'7", 6'6". You know, Jimmy Butler's what, 6'6", 6'7"? Not even. So, you know, you can't sit up there with LeBron at 6'9". You can't sit up there with AD at 7 foot. You can't sit up with Kyle Kuzma at 6'9", dude. Danny Green, almost 7 foot. You can't sit here and play big ball with the Lakers. You got to beat them on the shooting and on the off the ball moves. And I think at the moment the Heat are probably one of the only teams that shooting wise as a 3-point shooting team can actually manage that.
Well, what they also need to do is this Heat team can't, like you were saying, they can't play man-for-man ball. They need to start playing some zone defense, because if they go man-to-man, there's no one that they can match up man-to-man with Anthony Davis.
People may not think, but Lakers got a great defensive team, one of the best defensive teams.
Oh, yeah, they were the best
league,
defensive-rated team in the regular season. They had the best defensive
rating.
When
you have the best defensive-rated team and you got LeBron and AD putting up points, you know how hard that is, dude? Come on, that's – you walk into the game thinking, like, man, this is ridiculous.
Here's a bigger question. So I think we all are in agreement that most likely the Lakers are going to win. Who's going to win the finals MVP then? Is it going to be LeBron winning
Hopefully
his fourth?
Not.
Or is it going to be Anthony Davis winning his first? Because Anthony Davis is obviously doing all the workload, scoring all the points, but LeBron's the one facilitating, rebounding. There could be a situation where Anthony Davis scores, you know, averages about 35-40 in this finals, and then LeBron, you know, averages a triple-double. That could be a huge possibility. You know, Anthony Davis scored 34 last night, and I could see a situation where he's going to average about 30-plus points in this series, and then LeBron averages a triple-double, maybe like 25, 11, and 10 or something like that. So I want to see Anthony Davis win it. That's me. I want to see Anthony Davis win his first finals MVP. I think this player is a unicorn of a player. We don't see many seven-footers that can, you know, pull up and shoot from a three like him, and not only that, but he can drive to the basket, shot create, can pass, and as well as rebound like him. He is a unicorn of a player.
Yeah, I'm hoping for AD as well. I'm not the biggest LeBron fan in the world. Surprise, surprise. I really do like Anthony Davis, though. So that's – and he's playing like he should – like he's earned it as well right now. So, mm-hmm. Squirrel, what do you think?
Anthony Davis has done a tremendous job being
– the scorer, leading.
This leading scorer, honestly, with LeBron sitting next to you. You got to think about that. Anthony Davis, as the center, is the leading scorer of the L.A. Lakers in these playoffs with LeBron sitting next to him.
He's playing the power forward, more or
power
less.
Power forward, yeah, center. Who? Danny Green's playing center?
No, they have Dwight Howard.
Howard.
Yeah, they're putting Dwight at the five.
Did Dwight start last night?
Yeah, Dwight started
last night. He started last night. He's been tremendous defensively helping out that team. But
that's our secret weapon right there.
What Anthony Davis brings to a basketball – look, Anthony Davis, his talent didn't switch. His talent didn't go up from New Orleans to L.A. His situation did. You know, his scenario changed. He didn't have anything close to LeBron in New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? He was never going to get anything like LeBron in New Orleans. So he was never going to win in New Orleans.
Well, the closest thing he had was Boogie Cousins, and even then Boogie Cousins got injury prone towards the end of his career there.
Right. You see what I mean? So he moves, he switches his scenario. He becomes a better player without changing skills, talent going up. He becomes a better person and a better player because of the people who are around him in LeBron James.
And even not only that, but I just think it's like that Lakers mystique and Lakers like magic that they have around them that says players want to go there and players want to play for this team, because they know that when they play for this team, there's a certain expectation that you're not just going to get bounced out in the first round, that they have the championship pedigree here. Like, you come to the Lakers to win. You don't come to the Lakers to get knocked out in the first round.
Baseball like we've never seen it before in October. We're going to talk about it coming up next segment. You're listening to the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com.
This is Ducello at Sturt. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers, because there's the Elway draft, and there's going to be the way that I would draft it, which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Lock. You need to think about it. Our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturt.
Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded, and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at WelcomeRug and at OrangeMamba22 to check out the latest podcast.
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence,
really?
Flowing robes, grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing. Oh. See, the llama's a big hitter. Nailed 2 eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, llama. Uh-huh. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The llama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, Colorado sports fans. You're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man. Live in the now.
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Last night, we saw former Colorado Rocky DJ LeMahieu earn a few more pinstripes as the Yankees win 10-9 over the Indians. Squirrel, I know you're a big Indians fan, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're pretty bummed today.
No.
I know.
I'm a big Yankee fan. I'm actually very, very excited. I think we did great against the greatest pitcher in baseball at the moment. I think in Shane Bieber. Put up like 8 on him before they let him go. I think it was only 5 before they actually let him go because they realized, you know, it's going to get bad. It did get bad. It went to 12-3. Yesterday, we beat them 10-9 in the bottom of the ninth with a hit from your man there. Appreciate that from the Rockies. It took him till he got into pinstripes to become somebody, you know?
He's always been somebody. It took him until he got into the pinstripes for people to recognize that he's a great baseball player. Great defensive second baser. Now with the Yankees, anywhere he plays great, and he just makes contact with the baseball. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, and when he went there, I said, you know what, this Yankee Stadium kind of fits perfectly into DJ LeMahieu's how he is as a batter, because what he's known for is taking the ball and driving it to right center field as a righty. That's going to lead to a lot of doubles. But when you're doing that in Yankee Stadium, that short porch in right field, you're going to see a lot more balls go out even than you did at Coors Field, because he wasn't elevating the ball at Coors, and he's still not doing that with the Yankees. But what he is doing is he's pushing it right over that short porch. Stanton, did Stanton play? No.
No.
Judge.
Stanton played. Stanton hit a bomb last night.
Did he? Okay, that's what I thought.
Yep. Judge hit a bomb, second pitch of the first game. Yep. Judge hit a bomb, yep.
Yep. The Bronx Bombers are, I am afraid of this Yankees team. I think that they have what it takes. I think their bullpen might not have been what we thought it was going to be this year, but it's still good. It's very good.
People don't realize Gerrit Cole sat down 13 that night.
Oh, you know, for
two
sure.
Two nights ago before Tanaka came in. Tanaka didn't do so well, but we do, yeah. And if... Obviously, these three-game series aren't going to continue. The next round's 5, and I think after that we go to 7, so normal. But I think most teams, I could see them going with a three-man pitch rotation to run this thing. You know, you can get 3 great pitchers to keep on running. They don't need that many days off. So, I mean, Garrett Cole could be pitching. He's obviously going to be starting our next series. So I mean, we're looking to get a win against the Rays, man.
Does Garrett Cole have what it takes to lead this Yankee team like Madison Bumgarner had Giants?
If he can continue 13 Ks, which we know 13 Ks is a big number.
That's a very big number.
You know, if he can manage about 5 to 6 in his 6 innings normally. I want to try to get about 6 innings out of a starter right now. You know, I know it's hard because of everything going on, especially with these 3 games, you know, starters give up 2 runs, you know, we're going to the bullpen. So, you know, but it's, can Garrett Cole lead this team? Yeah. But do I need Judge and Stanton and Urshela and MLB leading home run leader Luke Voit? We need him to start bombing again. You know, we got to continue that. You can't just lead the season and not do it in the playoffs. And it looks like the bats for the Bombers are coming alive, man. So it doesn't look good for the rest of the field.
Now, how afraid are you of these Tampa Bay Rays?
You know what? I at the beginning,
are you like Steve Irwin level afraid?
No. Before the beginning of the season, I had called that Tampa Bay would win our division. They are a very tough team to play. They have played us very tough right now. But I think is it going to go 2-2-1 or 2? Yeah, 2 at home. There are 2 at home. So, and I think it's their home first. And if we get to New York at 1-1, this series is ours. I'm telling you.
You think?
Because I tell you right now, you said it, buddy. You hit a ball out to right field in Yankee Stadium, man. It's a goner.
Yeah, I mean,
Judge barely connected with one the other day. Like sliced it, and it was over the fence, dude. Like, so, you know, it's easy to play in Yankee Stadium. Yet again, it is tough to play in Yankee Stadium. So,
yeah, we'll see.
Hopefully, we get across this and get to play.
Get into that
Houston,
MLB
either Houston
bubble.
Or is it, which one has this game ended? Oakland and Chicago.
It has
the White
not
Sox
ended yet. Oakland's up 6-4 on the White Sox, top of 8.
Yeah. So if the Yankees end up coming out of the Yankees and Tampa will play the winner of Chicago Oakland versus Houston.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and we all know what a Houston's about in the playoffs.
Man, oh man, if I'm happy with any team winning the World Series this year that's not named the Houston Astros, because they barely made it into the playoffs. They I believe they had a record under 500. I just can't stand this Houston team. But like you said, they're going to be taking on either Oakland or the White Sox, and that's scary to me. I think that means that whoever wins between the Yankees and Rays are probably taking on the Astros, because I just don't see it from either of these two teams. I haven't seen it from the A's in a long time.
I really thought the White Sox were, you know, were contenders.
Yeah,
dude.
I mean,
before 10 games left in this season, they were sitting at number 1.
Yep.
You know, they went on a 3 and like 6 or 7 losing streak kind of, and ended up at like a 6 seed, which, boy, oh boy, is hurting them at the moment. You know what I'm saying? So they could have got the Indians, which I don't know if anybody wanted to play the Indians.
Right, for sure. I mean, that was one of the toughest matchups in those playoffs, from my opinion.
And we just waxed the floor with them.
Oh, absolutely.
So it was very exciting to see that happened, but I didn't expect that at all.
Yeah, if you're a White Sox fan, don't get down even if you do end up losing this game, because this team is still so young. And it has that pitching staff.
Giolito is a monster.
Yeah, I mean, Giolito, and they've got a couple other guys that are young. Pretty much every position player for them, besides Abreu, is a young guy and has a very good career to look forward to. So I would say that this is your first step into playoff baseball, because I don't see the White Sox leaving when we're back to a normal year. I think they've got the depth for it. Let's go over to the National League. Atlanta looked good. This is another team that are about like the Indians, where they're a pretty scary team, and they've been here for 4 years now. If they don't move past the Dodgers, or who are they playing? Oh, okay. They're playing Chicago or Miami next. That game was postponed today because of inclement weather. That it luckily not a COVID issue. Yeah.
Really inclement weather.
Yeah, I think it was raining in Chicago, so they had to.
What? Oh, really?
Yeah.
What a coincidence. It's raining in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, would you know? The wind's probably blowing as well. But if they don't move past either the Cubs or Miami, I think as a Braves fan, you should be very disappointed because this is a good team. You finally found some pitchers that can kind of keep on doing it. Anderson looked good yesterday, 6 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 9 strikeouts. That's nothing more you can ask for there. Now, the Brewers and Dodgers are playing tonight. Dodgers are up 1-0. Does this Brewers team have any hope?
Does the Brewers team have any hope? You know what? I would ask Jake, but he's not a big baseball guy. So, the Brewers, they got talent. You know, there's some talent there.
Any team with Christian Yelich in the lineup.
It was like, what, 2 or 3 game stretch? They scored like 15 runs, dude. Oh, yeah. I remember watching that. So, I know they've got a talent, but. I mean, you're playing the Dodgers, bro, so it's...
Kershaw on the bump.
Yeah.
No fans in the stadium. Is that going to help playoff Kershaw actually get to regular season Kershaw?
No, in a bubble in baseball.
I thought they had a playoff bubble.
No, not until the next round.
Yeah, not until the next round.
Yeah.
But it's the Dodgers, man, honestly.
Yeah, man.
Dodgers are tough to play. They're tough to beat. You got Mookie Betts and the boy, you know, Justin Turner, dude.
Listen to this starting lineup just for tonight. Mookie Betts, Corey Seager, Justin Turner, Max Muncy, Will Smith, whatever. He's had a pretty good year. Cody Bellinger, Chris Taylor, A.J. Pollock.
Will Smith's playing baseball now?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yep.
He gave up the acting.
Gave up the acting. He said, I may be a legend on the movie screen. I am now legend in baseball.
I am now legend.
But yeah, I hope the Brewers can pull some together. They've always kind of been a scrappy team. I just don't see it happening. Now, San Diego and St. Louis. These are two teams. St. Louis seems like they're always there because they are always there. San Diego, kind of like the White Sox. They're this young, up-and-coming team that... If you lose, if you get swept, don't be upset because you've got a good future ahead of you. I don't know what's going to happen here. They're warming up right now, actually. St. Louis won yesterday, 7-4. I believe that Tatis had a couple looks with runners on base to tie the game, and he struck out both times. Not what you want. From you're supposed to be superstar. Hosmer's back, which is nice. It'll be interesting. They take on the winner of the Dodgers and Brewers. I think, like we said, Dodgers probably winning that one. And then whoever they take there between San Diego and St. Louis. We'll see. Quick World Series prediction from you, Squirrel. Not named the Yankees. Who are the Yankees playing?
The Yankees... will be playing the Dodgers. I mean, I hate to say it. I hate to be you're picking the best teams. Well, that's kind of what happens when you get to the playoffs. You know, I could see the Padres maybe slipping them. They're pretty stout, and they're actually pretty good. So from that side, if it's not the Dodgers, you know, I think the Padres could be there with the Yankees. It's either Yankees or Tampa, honestly, coming from this side. So – Yankees, Tampa, or L.A., you know, two teams from two divisions.
Yep, for sure. I agree. It's either going to be Yankees or Tampa. I mean, it's going to be the Yankees. I think they're going to be playing the Braves. So we'll see what happens there. I like this Braves team. They need this as the Braves because if they don't win now, they got a lot of contracts coming up. And it's going to be an interesting MLB postseason. You've been listening to the Press Box. I've been Jacob. He's been Jacob. And on the board, we've had Squirrel. Thank you guys so much for joining me today. Take it easy.
This is Ducello at Third. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers because there's the Elway draft and there's going to